What is up, and welcome back to another episode of the Wizards Podcast. I'm your host, Greg Kimberg, and today we get to talk about some wins. Haven't been able to do that a lot this year. I feel like I come on here a lot of the times, and I just explain the various ways this team has found to lose games. But today, I can finally talk about some wins. Obviously, there's a loss in there to Houston that we'll talk about, but the Wizards have won two in a row yet again. They're playing better basketball. They're getting a little bit healthier. They're not just throwing out lineups with Jordan Poole, Corey Kispert, and G League guys. There's actually some competitiveness to these lineups. And they're playing well. They're beating some teams they probably shouldn't beat. Also beating teams they probably should beat at times. So very excited to honestly talk about some wins, in a season that's been pretty negative. There's definitely some positives to take from the last week or so. But before all that, I have to start by talking about the news that broke after the Chicago game, and that's that Wizards rookie Bilal Coulibaly is out for the season with a fractured right wrist. Ava Wallace of the Washington Post reported a week ago that Bilal Coulibaly will miss the remainder of the season after he fell pretty awkwardly, pretty hard in Chicago on that right wrist, ended up fracturing it. Josh Robbins of the Athletic said that they don't need they don't believe Bilal needs surgery, which is good. I did rigorous research on this. I'm no doctor, but it seems to me like it'll be about a 6 to 8 week recovery, maybe 6 to 10 week recovery. I thought of an example. Alex Caruso 2 years ago fractured his wrist, and he was back, I think, in 7 weeks. So definitely shouldn't see Bilal the rest of the season, but my primary concern was the fact that it could hold him out of summer league, which is really good reps for him that I think he needs, and I don't think that'll be the case. I think he'll probably be out until maybe early June, maybe mid June, and then he should be ready to go by early July for summer league. So obviously not ideal. You'd like to see a guy like Bilal, very young, very raw, high upside. You'd like to see him get as many reps as possible, and in a season where I think we'll start to see some of the reserves held out and rested over the final couple games to get some of the younger guys more reps. This is the prime spot of the season for Bilal to start. Maybe even be the primary ball handler and get a lot of reps. So sucks to see this, but just happy that it wasn't a worse injury that'll kind of bleed into summer league into next season. He'll be fine and he'll be fully recovered hopefully by July. His stats for the season: 8.4 points per game, 4.1 rebounds per game, 1.7 assists per game, and nearly one steal per game. Obviously, the scoring numbers, the counting stats aren't going to jump off the page. Didn't really expect them to for a guy like Bilal. These are kind of numbers that I would have anticipated coming into the season, especially considering I didn't think he'd play that much because Wooj likes to play win now guys even when we're tanking. Look, shot 43.5% from the field, 34.6% from three, 70% from the line. Early in the season, he was shooting over 50% over the first, I think, 15 games, playing very well. And then he seemed to kind of hit a rookie wall where, there wasn't too much burst in any of his jumpers. They were all kind of short. His drives weren't as crisp. His defense remained the same. He was still defending their best player at a very high rate. However, their offensive stats did fall off, and that's kind of got something you got to talk about. But I think it's that rookie wall, and that's not making an excuse for Bilal playing badly. The rookie wall happens to pretty much all rookies. And it just affected Bilal a little more. And look, this is the most basketball I'm sure Bilal has played in his life. I mean, a year ago he was playing for the U7 U18 team in Metropolitans for France. And now he's playing starter minutes for an NBA team. Like, it's gonna take some time. He's gonna have to get adjusted to everything. And I think that's kind of what you saw with the fall off of his numbers. But I am not concerned about his numbers. I'm just from the eye test, he definitely has what it takes. He's gonna get a lot better this offseason, and I'm excited for it. Some pros. I want to kind of break it down into pros and cons for Bilal because there was a lot I liked, and obviously there was a lot to be wanted in the future. And the cons aren't necessarily an indictment on Bilal. It's more so I think these are the things that he can get a lot better at. And he's got a bunch of time as well. This rebuild's going to take a minute. He's still very young, still under contract for 4 more years, pretty much. So, I'll start with the pros as someone who likes to be a little more positive. He shot a lot better than I expected. And look, the numbers aren't going to jump off the page. I mean, 35% from three isn't terrible, but it's not unbelievable as well. It's pretty average. But he started the season shooting almost 50% from three. He definitely has that in him. And as a guy who came into the draft, you know, people thought he couldn't shoot. You know, that would take a lot of time. I think his shot is much farther along than I anticipated. So I was happy with the shot. The defense is terrific. Look, we knew that going in. Probably the best defender in that draft class, and he's showing it already. Most nights when he would start, he would take the toughest assignment, the toughest matchup on the other team, and he did a pretty decent job. So of course the defense is perfect. You know exactly where you want it to be at this moment, and it's only going to get better. Athleticism is the real deal. You saw, I forget who he tried to dunk on. I think it was Max Strus that he tried to dunk on the Cavs. He literally jumped over him, got fouled. I think it was an offensive foul, but I mean, he's just an athletic freak, and you can't teach that type of athleticism. And then lastly, that potential, man, it's through the roof. He can be so good in this league, and he flashed that potential all season. So you really get Wizards fans excited for what the future holds. Now, unfortunately, there are some cons to the season for Bilal. Like I mentioned, his shooting fell off, dropped nearly 15% from three over the final, I'd say 40 to 50 games of the season, just a slow decline. The drives I felt were a little sloppy. He's a little indecisive when he puts the ball on the deck in terms of, all right, I'm running the pick and roll. I just came off the screen. How can I make that read? You know, how do I read that drop defender? Do I take this, you know, little floater if he's dropping? Do I take it to the rim if he's giving it to me? Do I take it in a little bit? And then once he commits, how can I get it up to my big you know, an alley-oop or pocket pass for a layup? You know, there's just certain things about, you know, maybe IQ or reading the defense that I think he needs to get a lot better at. He needs to get a lot better at dribbling. You know, the dribble moves are underdeveloped. He doesn't necessarily have that go-to move to get around defenders. He kind of just dribbles to his right or left and goes up for the layup. So I think, you know, look at a guy like Denny, who, you know, was really bad around the rim his first 2 seasons, and now has kind of, you know, gotten bigger and is able to use that frame of his and his size to, you know, punish defenders and go into their body. That's something that all players really need, and that's something I think Bilal needs to develop and learn from Denny, as someone who, you know, instead of just driving left and then fading away on the layups, take it into their chest, you know, finish over them, something like that. So, you know, in terms of rim finishing, I think he can get a lot better as well. But overall, I thought his rookie season was very good and about as I would expect. You know, didn't think he was going to win rookie of the year or anything, but really wanted him to be one of the better first year players. And I think I've seen that. I did a poll on Twitter, just kind of asking for a gauge of Wizards fans. What did you think overall of Bilal's rookie season, based on letter grade? And these are the results. A/A- got a 9%. B/B- was the overwhelming winner at 71%. And then you got C and C minus coming in at 19%, and then only 1% for D/F. Obviously, no one thought it was a D/F. Pretty much, he wasn't bad. D/F means like Johnny Davis rookie season level bad, and there's no way Bilal was like that. Even C minus, I understand some of those. But I thought he was. I thought if you grade it C/C-, that's kind of looking at the final, you know, 20 to 30 games instead of the overall sample size. So I do understand if you are kind of just like a newer fan, that makes sense. And then A-minus, I wouldn't even go that high. Look, if he continued the first 20 games that he played this season and that was taken throughout, it would be an A-minus easily. But the fall off, the drop off in terms of shooting, all of that factored in. I think the B-minus, which was an overwhelming answer here, and that's, you know, that's where I would stand as well. I thought it was a very solid rookie season, and there's a lot to be excited and a lot to build on, but not necessarily to that level of A-minus where he blew me out of the water. But it's still nonetheless great rookie season for Bilal. Very unfortunate that we won't be able to see him for the remainder of the season, where he could have gotten a lot better and a lot more reps, but just hope he heals up and that wrist is right for July to play summer league and play big minutes. So that's out of the way. Talking about some injury news, a little bit of housekeeping. Now we're gonna move on to the games of this week. And that's three games. There's one win or two wins, sorry, and one loss. We're gonna start with the loss. And that's the Houston 137 to 114 defeat. Look, you went into Houston a week ago, a week prior to this loss, and you got absolutely stomped. Zero defensive effort whatsoever. And that was with the majority of the starters playing. So, I don't want to hear, they didn't have any players and they just sure lost that game. No, like they had a lot of talent on that court that night, and they just decided they didn't care about winning or losing. They didn't care about playing defense, and that was the result. And tonight, although they lost by 23, I thought the effort was a lot better. Unfortunately, it was a little different than the first game because every single person pretty much was injured for the Wiz. Eight total players out: Denny, Kuz, Bagley, Bilal, Tyus, Omarui, Shamit, Livers, all out. And look, they came into this game averaging 130 points against over the last three meetings. Clearly, regressing from the stretch where they won two straight games and played very good defense. And that didn't change. All that bad defense entering this game continued, obviously, by giving up more than 130 for the fourth straight game. And look, you just wanted this team to compete. You didn't expect them to win. Eight guys out, starting basically Shamit, or sorry, Corey, Poole, and G League players. And you come out and you give really good effort. They competed. They even retook the lead, in the third quarter, went on a big run. But Houston just absolutely took over. I think they went down like six. They called a timeout. I'm sure Ime Udoka lit the fuck into them. And then they just were like, all right, like, why are we fucking around with the Wizards? They're the worst team in the league. Let's just kill them. Jalen Green was the reason. I mean, he had 42. He couldn't miss. He was super impressive. And for the Wizards, the starters were super unimpressive. I thought, Corey Kispert was okay, and Jordan Poole was okay, but the real players that I want to talk about are kind of those bench guys that no one talks about too much, and that's Jared Butler Jr., Jules Bernard, and Justin Champagny. Look, these guys are fighting for roster spots for not only this year but for the foreseeable future as possible, pieces in this rebuild. They're all still very young players, so. Age isn't too much of a factor, but 16 points for Champagny, a game after he dropped 16 against Boston, 16 points for Jules Bernard. And look, Jules Bernard, it was an efficient 16, and sometimes for Jules Bernard, he gets ahead of himself and he just chucks shots. I didn't think that was the case against the Rockets. I thought it was a very efficient night for Jules, and when he's got it going, he's a really good scorer. And then lastly, look, Jared Butler Jr. with 15 points and 9 assists off the bench. I have been on this Jared Butler train ever since he torched us with the Thunder in Summer League this season. He is such a gifted player. If he didn't have that heart condition, that, by the way, has been solved now, he's all good. He would have been a first-round pick easily following that championship year at Baylor. I mean, I thought he was better than Davion Mitchell that year for Baylor, and Davion went, I think, 5 to the Kings. So I feel like Butler could have been a lottery pick. Obviously, he had that heart condition push him back a bit, but he's worked his way back to the league, and he's got the talent. And look, above all else, he's a great defender, and for me personally, that's enough to keep him around here. A guy that can defend his position on the perimeter as well as find his teammates on the other end, knock down the three ball. That's the ideal backup point guard. So I think when you move on from Tyus, I would assume at the end of the season, Jordan Poole slides into that starter role at point. Unless you draft a point guard, I don't see why you wouldn't keep a guy like Jared Butler Jr. here for next season to play backup point guard minutes. But that's just me. And then I don't want to talk about this. You guys know how much stock I still hold for Johnny Davis, but this was one of the worst games he's ever played. 2 points, shot 1 of 7 from the field. What, I think like one rebound, so he didn't even do that well. 0 assists. Just a really, really poor night. Missed some layups. Three didn't look even close. Missed a couple floaters. He's getting his increased minutes. So it's kind of now or never. Put up or shut up time. you're getting, 20 to 25 minutes per game. He even started, and just not doing much. I mean, guys like Bernard can come in here off the G League team, and look, Johnny Davis isn't a scorer, and Jules Bernard is, so I don't know if this is fair. But Jules Bernard can come in here, drop 16, and then go back to the G League, drop 25, and then do it again. Johnny Davis has been here for a minute, and he's struggling to even reach 5 points. So just a brutal night for Davis, and a night where I thought, with him starting, maybe boost the confidence, give him a little, more leeway to, perform offensively, and that just wasn't the case. But nonetheless, obviously a lopsided loss, but an expected loss considering Houston was pretty much fully healthy, minus Tari Eason and Şengün, and the Wizards had pretty much everyone out. So can't be too mad at the loss. Moving on to wins. Finally gonna talk about some wins. The Kings win 109-102 was I would say probably the second most impressive win behind the win at Miami. Look, this is a game where you could easily said, all right, Kings are a really good team. I think they were 41 and 26 entering this game, fighting for a playoff spot in the West. They're kind of in that 6, 7, 8 range. Don't want to be in the play-in, want to improve their seeding, and they have everything to play for. And they come into DC against a Wizards team that has nothing to play for. They're already eliminated, basically been eliminated since October. And the Wizards came out and they fought. And I think that's a credit to Brian Keefe and his staff for making these guys stay engaged. And lately it hasn't been like that, but maybe they struck a chord with the guys. Or maybe these guys have just been missed a lot of time with injury, and they're just like, fuck it, I miss basketball. I actually want to play instead of phoning it in. I don't know what it was, but at the end of the day, it worked. Denny and Kuz, returned to action, which is big for the Wizards. Holmes as well, so had a real starting five of Poole, Kispert, Denny, Kuz, and Holmes, and kind of back to full strength. And it showed in the first quarter. They came out hot, ended the quarter up 35 to 27. One play I want to talk about in the first quarter, Baldwin Jr. received it in the corner, and usually he would just, rise up and shoot that three, but he pump faked, he drove right in, and he dunked it. The dunk wasn't like a, an emphatic dunk. He kind of missed the dunk and got a lucky roll, but nonetheless, he attacked the hoop strong, something I haven't really seen from him. Used his size and his build, and got the and one. And if Baldwin Jr. can start knocking down that three, that's the biggest thing, is his inconsistency, shooting the ball. But once that gets down, if he's able to put it on the deck and kind of like step forward into that mid-range, like a Markieff Morris could do, but also bang down low, because he's already got it on the defensive end. He gets, at least a block per game with his length, but the offensive struggles have been noticeable, and I was really excited to see him, put it on the deck and do something I haven't really seen much out of him, since he's been with the Wiz. So excited about that. And look, they kept dominating. They were up 54 to 36 with 5:45 left in the second quarter. Everything going the Wizards' way. But you just knew that the Kings wouldn't keep this up. And look, they went on a 19-0 run to tie it at 54. The Wizards went into the half up by 2. So terrible close to the half, obviously. Brian Keefe, I thought, waited a little too long, like he's done a lot. Took all time out, and even when he did, the adjustments weren't there because the Kings kept, chopping away. So, great first, I'd say 18 minutes for the Wiz, and just a horrible last 6 minutes. Couldn't score to save their life. They needed a spark coming out of the half, and Denny, Corey, and Kuz did just that. Kept, scoring, taking it to the rim, grew a 12-point lead for the Wiz. But then they closed the third poorly again, and this has been a struggle all season, is closing quarters. 8-0 Kings run to close the quarter into a 7-0 Kings run to start the fourth quarter. That's a 15-0 Kings run to cut the lead to 1 after the Wizards looked like they had this in the bag. And they needed someone to step up down the stretch. And, for all the shit I've given Kuz about, how bad he's been in clutch situations, thinking that he's Kobe, all of that, he was very efficient. He did his job. He scored down the stretch against the Kings. And he was kind of what took the Wizards home. Jordan Poole was great as well. Danny down the stretch made some clutch buckets, but
The Wizards kind of closed this team out, and the Kings were fighting, and they were like, all right, we kind of gotta go. We can't lose to the worst team in the league when we're trying to get a good spot in the playoffs. But the Wizards said, fuck that. We're gonna play as hard as we can. We're not as bad as our record indicates. And they came away with a really impressive win against a playoff team in the Kings. A couple of takeaways from this game. Look, Rashawn Holmes can be a piece here. He's under contract next season, $12 million player option. He's gonna pick up. He's been terrific in his minutes, always brings the energy. Plays pretty similar to Gafford. He's gonna bang down low, and he's gonna catch lobs. He's gonna bring it. And look, 15 rebounds against a guy like Sabonis, that is one of the toughest players to play against down low, is very impressive. And I was just very, very happy with what I saw from Holmes. Was one of the reasons the Wizards were able to hang on and win this game. Another solid night for Poole as the starting point guard. Thought he made smart decisions. And then lastly, look, you beat a really strong Kings team. And this is a team that went into Toronto the night before and absolutely killed them. But the Wizards came out and they said, we're not going to be like that. We're not just going to roll over and let you kill us. We're gonna compete. And they did that, and they came away with the win, which was very impressive. Snapped a four, I believe, 4 or 5 game losing streak. So just nice to kind of get one. And then you move into Toronto, and look, this is a game that they easily could have lost. They just won a game against the Kings. Could have just said, look, we're gonna take that this team for granted. Toronto's not terrible, but they're not good. I have a lot of guys that are injured, a lot of guys missing time. But look, the Wizards just had that, and now they are back to full strength. And it showed, obviously. One of the big things from this game was the fact that Tristan Vucevic made his debut. I had been saying for the longest time, let this guy play. What are you holding him out for? I don't care if he just got off the plane. He is a vital piece of this future, at least in my opinion. And I'd like to see him play as much as he can down the stretch. And look, he did play. He got, what, 3 minutes, I think. So basically, hopped on the court, ran some cardio, ran some sprints up and down, didn't touch the ball. Honestly, I think I got a better workout in yesterday than Tristan Vucevic did. But nonetheless, he played, and I don't care. I saw the double zero Wizards jersey. I saw Vucevic on the back. I don't really care how long he played. I'm just happy that, I would assume they just kind of introducing him into NBA basketball. Don't want to rush him into it. Look, he's still young. I think he's only 20 or 21, but I would assume his role will get bigger as the season goes on. Because I mean, if Brian Keefe's plan is to literally play him 3 to 5 minutes every game, then just send him back to Serbia and say, re-sign your contract. We don't want to enact this clause. Why are you even here? You brought him here for a reason. So I wouldn't get too, hung up on the fact that he didn't play basically at all. I'm just kind of excited that he's here and that he should be able to play more minutes in the future. But yeah, I didn't see much from him, obviously. Like 3 minutes. What the fuck are you supposed to see? 3 more minutes than me. But look, in terms of the game, the Wizards trailed for most of it. Trailed by as many as 11 in the third. Closed on a 7-0 run. Butler and Baldwin Jr. made back-to-back threes. Again, another strong game for Butler and Patrick Baldwin Jr. There was one possession in particular I want to mention. Rashawn Holmes had a possession where he had 3 offensive rebounds and drew a foul. That completely changed the game. From there, the Wizards retook the lead. And that's a play like I would see from Montrezl Harrell early in 2021 when or 2022 when he would just outwork everybody and then the whole crowd would be on their feet, back when the Wizards started 10-3 and everyone thought they were going to make the playoffs and win it all. That play embodies that type of passion. Rubs off on everyone else, and that's why I really just enjoy watching Rashawn Holmes play basketball. And then that was the reason the Wizards were able to come back. Denny made some big shots. Kuz took over back-to-back buckets on the inside to grow the lead to 6. And it was a really good crowd, I'd like to say. I mean, Saturdays are usually really good crowds for the Wizards, at least. I mean, DC, what are you going to do on a Saturday night? Go to the Wizards game. Same goes for Friday nights. A really good crowd got them engaged. And then the Wizards were up by 3, I believe, with about 35 seconds left, something like that. I mean, Jordan Poole, a fucking laser across court pass to Corey Kispert with 3 on the shot clock. drills the three. Dagger from Corey. I wish Steve Buckhantz were still on the call to scream dagger for Corey on that three, because it was a dagger. Or at least we hope. If I'm being honest, I don't want to talk about the negatives and what's a really good win against Toronto, but the Wizards tried their best, like they have all season, to throw this shit away. Obviously, Kispertus the three to go up six, then they come down and Toronto. I think we fouled a 3-point shooter and they made all the free throws. I'm pretty sure that's what happened. Yeah, because Gary Trent Jr. got fouled by Kuz, and I even tweeted out, I said, overturn that shit. I didn't think he got fouled, but a lot of people told me I was wrong, so I guess I was wrong. I was a little biased in my way, the way I was viewing the play. So apparently he did get hit. Trent makes all three free throws. The Wizards come down to get fouled. Denny Avdia with about 8 seconds left. Two shots, misses both at the line. That can't happen. And Denny hasn't even been bad at the line this year, but he just rimmed both out. Bruce Brown got a wide open corner look for the tie and just missed. So Wizards get bailed. They should have blown this leading on to overtime. Bruce Brown rims out his three, and they take away another good win. And look, is it as impressive as the Kings or the Heat win? No, Toronto sucks. They're going to be a lottery team. But the Wizards have won two straight. Again, playing better basketball. But what's unfortunate is they've had these stretches where they play two to three really solid games, come away with a few wins, and then they go right back to their old ways for another 4 to 5. You like to see that consistency where they're playing hard and competing every game. And yes, they're still losing because there's such a, wide talent gap, but you would like to see this compete level on a more consistent basis and not just, kind of when they feel like it. Yeah, again, an impressive win. A couple of takeaways. Look, Jordan Poole was phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal. 18 points, very efficient. 18. I think he was 6 of 14 from the field. 12 assists, tied his career high. It was a season high. He was diming up everybody. Pocket passes, cross-court skip passes, outlet passes. He was doing every single thing you want your point guard to do and not turning it over. I think he had two turnovers. That's a 6-to-1 assist to turnover ratio. Not Tyus Jones level, but I will take a 6-to-1 assist turnover ratio. And he had three steals. He had a late steal that was big, with 2 minutes left, and three steals. He's playing better defense. He's not a good defender in the slightest. But he's not a liability, I would say, anymore. And I think that effort is there, and that's all I wanted. You don't have to be a great defender. Just try. Just try. And I've seen that, and I've seen him getting a lot better and a lot smarter on that end. A lot more crafty in the way he, plucks at balls and strips the big and does a bunch of really good stuff that I've liked on the defensive end. Again, second takeaway, Rashawn Holmes is an absolute dog. I thought he was against the Kings, but I fucking know he is after this Toronto game. 15 points and 14 rebounds. He was the hardest worker on the court, brought the energy, engaged the crowd. I love seeing a guy like that that gets rewarded for all of his hard work and on all of his really tough play down low, because it's not easy to maintain that high level of energy throughout a game. But Rashawn Holmes consistently does that. And even in a season where wins don't matter in terms of, making the playoffs, he's still going at it. So I can't even wait to see him, if he's still here when this team string together some wins. I'd really like to see that as well. And then, finally, Denny's fingerprints were all over this win. Kind of fly under the radar. He didn't have any huge, splash plays, but he just, quietly efficient 22-point night, which was a team high, 13 rebounds, 5 assists. And look, the 3-point shooting for Denny, I think he began this game 2 of 2, has been unbelievable. Even, exceeded my expectations and my hopes for how he could improve that this season. But one of the things I've been more impressed about is his rebounding. On a team that struggled to rebound all season, even we had Daniel Gafford, Denny's been probably the second best rebounder. What I thought Kuz would kind of be this season at the four. Denny gets his nose in there. He's a really strong rebounder, good hands, when corralling those boards. And 13 rebounds for your small forward is a terrific, terrific stat line. And look, he's been terrific all season. He continued it. And he was one of the big reasons the Wizards were able to take away this win and finally, get to two wins in a row. Free throws need to improve. You can't be going to the line, with a chance to put the game away and missing both. That can't happen. However, very impressed with Denny, Poole, and Holmes. They were the three best players on the court. Even impressed with Kuz for taking over down the stretch, in a season where, clutch play hasn't been his, his repertoire like it usually is, but it's just a good team win, a good way to come back from 11 down and close it out and get to, back-to-back wins. So that brings you to 13 and 58. And just to give a lottery update, I like doing this at the end of my episodes the last couple of times because I feel like a lot of people genuinely like to know where the Wizards stand. Like, yeah, we're bad, but how bad are we? And how bad can we be? And how honestly good can we be? Because we don't want to be too good over the last couple of games to drop too far. I don't think we're gonna be too good. I mean, this team is 13 and 58 for a reason, but it is really close in terms of the race to the bottom. Detroit isn't really helping the Wizards too much. They have spiraled a little bit. They're 12 and 59. They own the worst record in the league. And then Washington sits right behind them, one full game back at the second worst team in the league. And they still have to play each other one more time, and we'll talk about that in a second. So that's gonna be the game of the season. And look, I'm not gonna say I'm not gonna be rooting against the Wizards. It's just this is why it's so hard to root for a tanking team because you never want to root against your team. It's never fun to root against your team. But late in the season, when losses are so much more important than wins, it is you kind of have to find that middle ground. So look, I don't know how I'm gonna be watching that game, but I do know that a loss would be way more beneficial to the Wizards than a win. A win basically locks you into that second worst record, and it's not too big a deal. Look, if you have the worst record, the lowest you could pick is five. If you have the second worst record, the lowest you could pick is six. And at the end of the day, you still both have the same chance to get the first overall pick. So not the end of the world. But look, it is still pretty close between Detroit and Washington. That game in a couple days is going to be very key to determining the draft order. Then you got San Antonio coming in at 15 and 56. The Wizards have a two-game lead, the reverse way, basically. The Wizards are two games worse than them. So, San Antonio, they've lost three in a row as well, but they've split the season series with Washington. And I don't think the Wizards are going to win two more games this season. And even if they do, I think the Spurs should at least win one or two more as well because they still have to play Detroit the final game of the season. And they still got to play some, not too good opponents. And they've been playing better basketball, so I'm not too concerned about dropping farther than the two spot. You got Charlotte at 17 wins, and you got Portland at 19 wins. That's 4 and 6 more than the Wizards. I don't think the Wizards, like I said, are going to get beyond 15 wins. So I think they're sitting pretty in that bottom three and definitely have a chance based on that Detroit result to move even further up into that top spot. But nonetheless, they're going to have a really good pick. Is the draft class that great? No. And I'm going to do more draft stuff as we get on. I wanted to talk a little bit more just because it's March Madness. I was going to do an episode maybe, talking a little more about some draft prospects that I've watched in this last couple of days and really like. Maybe give you my big board 1.0. But I feel like I want to talk about the in-season stuff before we move into the off-season. When there's not a lot to talk about, it's the NBA playoffs and the Wizards are sitting at home on their couch, eating a nice meal and just kind of watching the playoffs like Wizards fans and Wizards players traditionally do, not usually playing in it, at least the last couple of years. But at that time, I think that's when I want to dive more into the draft coverage, because that's what's going to be important and interesting, as we get into the lottery in May and as we get into the draft in late June. This is, the Wizards Super Bowl. That lottery in May is the biggest lottery for the Wizards in a while. And, they actually have a chance. They're not just gonna be like, okay, we're at eight. Okay, we'll move back to nine, because we always pick nine. It's not gonna be like that. And I feel like the draft coverage will be more interesting as the Wizards get closer. But look, that's the lottery update. Now we move into the upcoming schedule. The Wizards got to play at Chicago, then they're home against Brooklyn and Detroit. I think they only have three more road games total the rest of the season. Most of the games are at home, so that could lead to a lot more wins as well. But Look, the bottom line is they're going to go into Chicago like they did last time, and I think they're going to absolutely get killed. Chicago's fighting for one of the final playoff spots. They're pretty much locked in, I think, to the play-in at least, but they're going to kill the Wizards like they did last time out. Then they're home against Brooklyn and Detroit, two teams that suck. Brooklyn obviously isn't great, but they do have a lot of talent. They still have Bridges, Cam Johnson, guys like Cam Thomas, Dennis Schroeder, Nick Claxton. They're a very solid bunch, and I think they're way better than the Wizards. And it depends, who's healthy for the Wiz. They've been pretty banged up, but when they've been healthy, they've been playing better basketball. So this is a game I think they could win. I don't think they will, but it's a game that they could win. And then right after that third game after I'm recording this is Detroit at home. It's the Tank Bowl, tank off of all tank offs. Basically, if the Wizards win that game, I doubt they'll be able to get the best odds, meaning that they'll get the worst record and they can only fall to five. And look, if they lose that game and everything's still in play in terms of getting that the worst record in the league, doesn't matter. Like I've said, they should get a 14% chance at the first pick no matter what happens. It's just kind of protecting against falling too far in the draft order. But look, that's gonna do it for this episode, recapping a 2-1 week for the Wiz. A week that I thought when I mapped it out that they'd probably go 1-2. I figured, a banged up Toronto team is a really good spot if they're healthy to pick up a win. Did not see it beating the Kings in the slightest, especially after Sacramento went into Toronto and won by 30. But look, the Wizards are playing better basketball, and that's kind of what you want to see to close a season, pick up a little more momentum. I will say, I wouldn't be opposed at any point, maybe the last 5 to 6 games, for the Wizards to shut down all the veterans on this team. And look, I don't want to do it now because Jordan Poole getting these reps at point guard is so valuable, especially if you consider him to be your point guard of the future. And look, I would play him for the final, set 6 to 7 games, but once we get to like 75, 76 games played, I don't necessarily see the point of grinding it out with these veteran players, especially if some might not be back next season. And I think that's what you've seen. I think guys like Tyus and Shamet, they're injured, but I feel like if they really needed to play, we were in the thick of a playoff chase, they could play. It just I think they're kind of holding those guys out, and I honestly think you've seen the last of both of them in Wizards uniforms. But I wouldn't be opposed to seeing guys like Kuz, Jordan, maybe even Denny, for the final 5 games, give them a much needed rest. Go with guys like Champagne, Butler, Davis, Baldwin Jr., Vucevic, all of those young guys kind of get, an evaluation of the talent. Like you saw last year, the Wizards were eliminated. They rested KP and Brad and all the veterans, and you had guys like Johnny Davis starting. I'd like to see that towards the end of the season. Not right now. I think these reps are so valuable for Poole and Denny and all them. But, with 4 or 5 games left, I'd like to maybe see the veterans shut down. And look, the Wizards have won a couple games, and it's nice. And I understand. Like I say, every time the Wizards win, I know that a lot of people don't like it. I know a lot of people want them to lose as many games as possible and actively root against them. But I also know a lot of people don't watch the games, and it's easy to want your teams to lose when you're not watching. But when you are watching, it's a little bit more difficult for that to be the case. So I just kind of wanted to put that out there that it's not that easy. It's just root against your team to win games, and that's the point. Also, I kind of want to touch on this lastly. This dude Darius came at me on Twitter. His name is D underscore Wit 98. He tweeted after the Wizards won the game. Wizards fans hated Poole all year, but now he's the point guard of the future off of one game. Lord carry us. Clearly talking about my post where I tweeted out Jordan Poole stats, and then underneath I said Washington's point guard of the future. Look, Darius, I don't think you're watching this, but next time at me. Like these Poole fans, and it's not all of them, but like, you're allowed to be critical of a player and also praise that player. That is NBA dialogue. That is what happens. When you stan a player, you're never going to say anything bad about him. And then when somebody says something good about him, you gatekeep that person from being happy for that player. Just because in the past, they said Jordan Poole was terrible tonight because he shot 0 of 8 from the field and scored 0 points. Whereas instead, the Kuz or the Poole fans, like this guy Darius, would have probably blamed Kyle Kuzma, who probably didn't even play that game. This is where NBA fandom pisses me off. And look, Darius, I don't know if you're listening, but next time just tag me in it. Like, don't talk about it when you're clearly talking about me and then not say anything. And look, this has been, annoying all season. And I feel like I'm one of the less critical Wizards personalities on Twitter about Jordan Poole. I pick my spots when to say something, and I only say something about his play when it's bad, when it's very, very bad, and you can't escape the fact that it's bad. It's the same with Johnny Davis. I love Johnny Davis, but I have to comment when he goes 1 of 7 as a starter and scores 2 points. Same goes for Denny when he misses 2 free throws at the end. It's every player. So sorry, I just had to get that off my chest. But look, that's gonna do it for this episode, recapping a 2-1 week for the Wiz. Finally got to talk about some wins, which I was very excited about. As someone who comes on here on this podcast and mainly talks about losses, I've done it 58 times this year. But nonetheless, guys are playing well. Jordan Poole looks like he could play the point guard for the future in this organization. Rashawn Holmes is the dog. Denny and Kuz are playing well. The team's fully back to healthy, and I'm very excited to see how they close out the season. Excited to see guys like Jared Butler Jr. and Baldwin Jr. Kind of develop. And yeah, that's gonna do it for this episode. Appreciate you all for listening as always. And yeah, go Wiz.